Programming is supported by Topline Construction Firm, your local women-owned roofing contractor based out of Shoreview, Minnesota. Roof replacement, both retail and insurance work. More information at toplineconstructionfirm.com.
You're listening to a recording of a live radio show on NPR News. If you want to listen to us in real time, you can stream our show live weekdays at 9 and 11 a.m. Central. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
Good morning, I'm Chris Farrell, filling in for Carrie Miller. Later this hour, we're digging into the reporting done by the Star Tribune on the failure of Minnesota law enforcement to investigate the significant number of rape cases. But first, we're getting an update on the Thurman Blevins case. The 31-year-old man was fatally shot by police in North Minneapolis on June 23rd. On Sunday night, the city of Minneapolis released the police body camera footage of that encounter. This is not the first high-profile fatal police shooting in the metro area. Others include Jamar Clark, Philando Castile, and Justine Ruzczyk. But this is the first time we'll be seeing the body camera footage of the shooting before the investigation has concluded. Henry County Attorney Mike Freeman is holding a press conference this morning to talk about the case. We'll have more coverage on that later, but first, we'll take a closer look into the body camera footage. Here to talk about the content of those tapes is Ginger Charles. She is the executive director of the Institute for Spirituality and Policing and the director of business development at Saybrook University. She joins us this morning from Denver, Colorado. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
I really appreciate it. And call you Ginger, is that okay?
That's fine, yes.
So before I get to the questions, you know, any viewer who is going to be watching the footage of the Blevins shooting, there's a disclaimer, and I just want to read it in part. Officers' body-worn cameras, BWC, captured the response to the call. The video you're about to see, the raw video, comes straight from responding Minneapolis Police Officer Ryan Kelly's BWC. It contains movement and provides a lower level of clarity. This video is from the Minneapolis Police Department and has not been altered in any way. Upon the officers exiting the squad car, you may hear clicking sounds. This sound is a product of audio disturbance from the microphone and does not reflect gunshots. And then it continues from there. So, Ginger, does this disclaimer strike you in any way?
Does it strike me? I think, even though I have 27 years as a police officer, I can tell you that, watching the video, certainly my heart rate was accelerating as I was watching it. Thinking about what the officers are going through, thinking about those encounters on the street. The video is very, very graphic for those of you who are not used to something like that. You just really need to be aware of that.
Okay.
But pretty accurate.
All right. So let's walk through the sequence of events here, okay? Is that all right? We'll walk through the sequence. So there's footage from the officer's body cameras, and the video starts with them in the car. And you hear that they're looking for a man who is described as being drunk and walking through the neighborhood, shooting off a gun. And they drive around looking for the man. And when they spot their suspect in a blank tank top, you hear an officer say he's got a bottle of gin and another say he's got a gun.
What's interesting about the tapes is, as a psychologist, I'm also listening to the language prior to that particular incident. And the language is very professional. There's casual conversation, if you can consider that casual, as far as looking for this individual. So that's really apparent to me that, that this is a call that they're considering serious. The description is accurate, according to them, versus a very vague description. So they know what they're looking for. They've actually looked at one individual that didn't meet that description and moved on. And then as they see that scene, they see the individual, and then the one officer notices the gun, and then the chase is on.
So, and how long were you a police officer?
27 years.
27 years. And you have been in circumstances like this. So you understand what is going on here.
Yes, yes.
So describe what you see from here. They approach with weapons drawn, tell him to put his hands up, and then there's a chase.
So there's a chase, you know, as far as knowing whether or not they have their guns out immediately. You know, I don't see that in the video, just okay. in watching it. I do see them giving chase, and then, of course, at some time during the video, then you do see that they have their guns out. But you also see that there's something in the individual's hand if you look at the slowed camera. So, you know, that's pretty typical. You know, you're meeting deadly force with deadly force at that particular time.
So one thing you notice, there's a woman with a child in a stroller and a dog on a leash near the suspect when they find them. And, you know, how does that sort of scene factor into a police officer's determination whether or not to draw their weapon?
So they may not draw the weapon immediately. The gentleman, Mr. Blevins, takes off at that particular time, so there's not any chance to talk with the woman about, you know, what was going on. The officers have to react based on Mr. Blevins' movements at that particular time, the fact that they have seen a weapon. Looking at Minneapolis's statutes, you know, as far as deadly force, you know, if they believe or have reason to believe that individual could cause deadly force with somebody else, then they do have the right to use deadly force. So them chasing him, you know, many people might say, why don't they stop? Why don't they take cover? At that particular point, they don't have an option to do so because they are concerned at that point, I can imagine, that this individual might commit a felony since he's already been reported as committing a felony by shooting in the air. Now, they haven't had time to investigate that, so they have to go off of the 911. They have to go off of the actions of the individual as they approach the scene, and then they are in a situation where their choices become limited based on the behavior of the individual in front of them.
And so now, what do you make of their interactions? Thurman Blevins, he responds to their questions by asking why, you know, as he continues to run away. And they're saying, put up your hands or expletive, I'll shoot you.
Right. So with Mr. Blevins, one of the interesting things that from the psychological perspective of that, we have a potential that he's intoxicated, so he's not thinking clearly. We also have the potential that he's under a great amount of fear or under anger or some other kind of influence that we don't know about. So he's not acting in his right mind. Also, those particular statements can be somewhat manipulative. They also... it's confusing. It's contradicting information as that individual is running with a gun away from officers giving those commands. And given the environment that we have with police and community, those are things that would be said by somebody who is in fear of police. So we have that kind of information out there. With the police officer, you know, you think about trying to run at full speed after somebody, trying to control them, yelling at them that this is incredibly important, and being, you know, I guess being firm in your voice. And there are times when the expletives do come out because you're trying to initiate some kind of sense that this is dire. Please listen to me. But you don't have the option to say, please listen to me. At that particular point, you're running and they are under stress and trying to control the situation as well.
Okay, so Blevins is saying, don't shoot me, please don't shoot me. He continues to run, turns down an alley. He says, leave me alone. He's running. And then the officers fire shots.
Correct.
So what do you notice about the seconds before the shots are fired?
So in several instances, Mr. Blevins is looking back at the officers, and, you know, at that point, I can't really tell. It looks like he's got the weapon in his hand, in his right hand. I can't tell at any particular point, and I'm taking a look at this as a retired police officer, as well as a psychologist, not as an attorney, not as a district attorney, okay. So just that disclaimer. As he's running away from them, then you don't know exactly what this individual is going to do. I don't know if he turns and that's what makes the decision for the police officer to shoot. So I don't have that information. Although I do know that there was some kind of trigger that happened in order for that to happen at that particular time.
So I think anybody watching this video, I mean, the question that gets asked, at least in when I was watching in the back of mine, were there opportunities to de-escalate the situation?
You know, there have been several shootings where I have had the opportunity to look at and see where could we actually have backed up and stopped. This one here, it is such an immediate reaction that you have a man with a gun who's been reported to shoot. You see that man with a gun and he takes off. At that particular time, if the officers made the decision to stop chase, you have a man with a gun who is reported as intoxicated, reported to have shot. Really, that's not acceptable for a police officer. So that's unfortunate, but that's the situation that is presented to them. You know, there isn't a period of time where they could actually slow down. Now, had he gone around a corner, then I would have expected the officer to slow down and stop and then evaluate where he went. But it is in full chase, and there's really not any opportunity in order to think about how do we de-escalate this.
I'd like to thank you very much. And later on, our NPR reporters are going to give us more information about, you know, further advancements in this situation. And also, you know, Lieutenant Bob Kroll, who's the Minneapolis Police Federation president, he has said that Blevins shot at the officers and a round went into the pavement and that the BCA has recovered a casing from the scene. So we'll get a lot more of the details, a lot more information. Our reporters are looking into this. I'd like to thank you very much, really, for taking your time.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate your time, too.
Ginger Charles is executive director of the Institute for Spirituality and Policing and the director of business development at Saybrook University.
This was a recording of a live radio show on NPR News. To add your voice to our discussion, you can call in at 800-242-2828 or tweet Kerri at KERRINPR. And if you miss us live, you'll find all of our shows by subscribing to this podcast. If you have questions, you can email us at talk@npr.org.